You're listening to episode 60 of the 360 Vegas podcast. Visit the blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
Pools, the casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio.
Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo.
Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
Episode fucking 60.
It's crazy.
I know.
It's going by so fast.
It really is. It really is. And thanks to your suggestion, we now have a bulb from the Las Vegas sign that was actually used on June 12th, 2011, when we launched the podcast. And I absolutely treasure the shit out of this thing.
It's amazing. And when I took a look at it, I was just so pleased to see. I mean, they even put our little logo on there and everything. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Not on the bulb, but on the inside of the box.
Right, right. Yeah, in the certificate of authenticity. It touched a special place in my heart, and I cannot thank you. And once again, a great partnership in coming up with an idea on a reason to get one of these bulbs and commemorate a special occasion.
Yeah, we'll have to put a picture of it on the we can put it on the Enhanced Podcast now, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we'll of course put it up on the Flickr page as well.
Yep. So take a look at that. It's awesome. We're so happy to have it, and that's really cool.
Yeah,
again, I think it's great that they even offer that.
I know, it's amazing. And for those of you interested in purchasing your own Las Vegas sign light bulb, you can go to officiallasvegaslight.com or just really Google it. It's usually the top choice there.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. A couple other things we want to throw out there at the top of the show here. Happy 56th birthday to Golden Nugget, who opened on August 30th of 1946. That'll be coming up later this week.
Yeah, 1946. I actually had to double check that date because I thought for sure that they were born in the 50s, but nope, 46.
Crazy. That's a long, long time.
Yep.
And on Saturday, happy 13th birthday to Paris, who opened on September 1st of 1999.
What's wild is that 1999 is only 13 years ago.
Well, the math would have it. And it's funny, too. And it's even funnier that we should also say happy birthday to the paint job on the balloon.
Right. Right.
Because it's also about that old.
That is correct, Brian. I'm pretty sure it's exactly that old.
Yes.
And then before we even get started in the show, we're not going to fucking talk about Prince Harry. We're not TMZ. We're not fucking Perez Hilton. I don't give a shit about Prince Harry's dick, all right?
Yeah, I don't care either.
Yeah, so let's move on. Listener feedback. We got some awesome, awesome feedback.
Yeah, why don't you start us off with the email you got?
Yeah, so we received an email from listener Ross Williamson, a.k.a. at Trotterex. I don't know. It's Trotterex. He wrote, "Afternoon, Mark. Hope all is well with you and Karen. I thought I'd send you across these reviews from the UK iTunes store, as I'm not sure if you receive them or see them in the US store, as they don't match up with some of the reviews you've covered on the show to date."
I'm really happy he sent these because there's no way we can see the UK's version of iTunes.
Yeah, so. Apparently not, and that sucks because they fucking love us over there, Brian.
I can't wait to go over these.
Absolutely. Let's start with the first one. We've got "Great Podcast, 5 out of 5 by Andy937. He wrote this review January 12, 2012. He writes, "A really interesting and well-put-together podcast full of useful tips and information with great hosts." We are great, Brian. Thank you, Andy, for recognizing that.
We like to think so, anyway.
Putting it in literature, so that makes it fact.
It's published.
Right.
It's official. Yeah, and the next one is from Coptic Stew. I think I pronounced that right.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Give us a 5 out of 5-star iTunes review titled "Entertaining and Informative." They wrote, "There are two things I want from a travel-related podcast: to be entertained and to be informed. This podcast hits both. It is clearly a labor of love from the two presenters, and they put a great amount of effort into it, and it shows. It is professional without losing the enthusiasm and spontaneity of an amateur, if that makes sense. They have fun talking about something they love, and I have fun listening to them. They have thought about what a potential visitor to Vegas might like to know, both a first-timer and a regular. It's hard to get the content pitched right for both of these disparate audiences, but this podcast gets it about right. There are quite a few Vegas podcasts around now, and luckily for the listener, they all have a slightly different angle. This has now joined my must-listen-to list. It fills a hole left by the Strip podcast. Thanks, guys.
Wow, that's another huge, huge compliment, because the Strip podcast is one of the podcasts that inspired us to create a podcast about Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yet another podcast that inspired us is the next review. It's from Dave McCallan, who wrote a review for us, titled it Up There with At 500, which is a gigantic compliment.
Yeah, anytime we're mentioned among our peers in the Vegas podcasting world, we're deeply humbled, and that's a huge compliment to us. Yeah,
absolutely. He wrote, started listening to these guys recently on a recommendation from the 500 podcast. Glad I took the advice. These guys are great fun and informative. Keep it coming, guys.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we're gonna do that. You can try and stop us.
You can't.
No,
it's impossible.
And it's a good thing Dave doesn't want us to.
No, absolutely. Next one is titled "A Must Listen to Show" by Trotter X, and this was actually Ross, the gentleman who actually wrote us the email.
Yes.
Also 5 out of 5 stars, and Ross wrote, "A welcome addition to the Vegas podcast family. Fun hosts, some novel show segments, and great interlinking with Twitter. Great stuff, guys. Already a must listen to show. Keep up the fantastic work."
And then our last, and apparently the original, is by Mark K, who I believe is Mark Knowlton. He wrote, 5 out of 5, great podcast, great fun and really informative. Good job. So happy that Ross forwarded this on to us, and he completed his email with, as you can see, all positive and an average score of 5 of 5. There's even an up there with at 500 comment, which is praise indeed when you consider that Tim and that vixen Michelle have been going for years longer than you guys. Take care, Ross. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, there's nothing else that needs to be said. Thank you so much, Ross, for sending this to us, and we're happy to see that our friends overseas are enjoying the show, and you know, as many people as we can molest via our audio production. In a good way.
Absolutely, yes. We caress gently and lovingly.
Yes, absolutely. Whispering sweet nothings. Or not so sweet, however you like
it. Yeah, that's right. Whatever you want, whatever you want.
We're adaptable. Right. to a degree. Anyway, thank you again, Ross. We appreciate that. Let's move on to the show.
Yes.
And we've got the Random Vegas Sir. Go.
Yes. May 1959, the Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas sign is installed on Las Vegas Boulevard. We got that from Casino Player Magazine, and of course, our glee over having our own bulb from said famous sign inspired this to be our Random Vegas for this week.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we've got our Vegas Mate Review of the Week.
Yeah, this week's review is Remy's August 18th review of the California. Gave it 3 out of 5 chips.
Yeah, Remy wrote, average room with a junk view. Got the East Tower, the one with the Buddha in the lobby. The only plus is the fridge in the room. Staff is very friendly. Could hear the music blasting at 11 p.m. from Fremont Street Experience, so can't imagine what it must be like for the hotels down there. Main Street is way nicer, so I'm probably going to go back there next time. P.S. If you're going to catch the shuttle to Sam's Town, don't look for the big bus like they show you on their brochure. It's one of the small shuttles that says Station Casino on the front. Missed the darn shuttle because of it.
Oh, that sucks.
That is really unfortunate.
You know, something interesting about that, though, is he's talking about how loud it is. And I've stayed at downtown casinos. They stopped the Fremont Street Experience at midnight. So I can't believe he's going to bed that early.
Well, I can understand, because I have gone to bed that early. But, you know, then again, I've always stayed on Strip or at the Rio. So.
It just still blows my mind away that you go to bed before midnight.
Well, not always. I mean, it hasn't always been that way. But the last couple of trips that I've gone there, I've been there for such a short time. Mm-hmm. And I usually end up going right after work that my sleep schedule is so fucked up, I literally can't stay up any later than that. And I never am there long enough to get into a new schedule.
Right. Yeah.
That has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. I'm not judging it. I'm just, it's.
Oh, right. Absolutely. And you have to remember, too, I'm up like hours before most people are awake, and I'm already drinking and gambling.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, I'm still enjoying it my own way, but it's just, you know, on a different schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, good shit there. And now we've got our Twit Pick of the Week winner.
This week's winner goes to @TheFrankDaddy for his picture of what I can only assume is the view from his room, because he appears to be behind the Statue of Liberty and the roller coaster. Now, it's such a unique view that I knew it would be a winner the second I saw it. Now, if you look beyond the Statue of Liberty, you can see the entire Tropicana Resort, as well as a great mountain range backdrop. And we very quickly received a lot of people who tagged this as a very unique, incredible view from Vegas. And like I said, it was just one of those that, you know, I'm searching through Twitter, just, you know, casually checking out shit. And I was like, oh, winner. I know it's going to be the winner.
Yeah. We had a lot of really good candidates this week, too.
We usually do.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, this is a great picture. As always, we will link to it on our blog. We'll put it up on our Flickr page, as well as the Facebook page, and on the enhanced version of the podcast you are enjoying right now.
I always feel compelled to come up with great descriptions of these things, and it's like, at times, I come up with such dramatic things that all I do is get mocked by you and our listeners, and then there are times where I feel like I'm selling it short in this case.
Well, in this case, I think the picture definitely speaks for itself. You know, you definitely do obviously put time into your description of the photo, but yeah, you're right. I will continue to mock you, and I think that you will appreciate me more for it.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't respect you if you decided to bail on mocking
me.
Oh,
I know. I know.
Right.
With that out of the way, let's get into the news. Our first item on the docket for this week is regarding the Crazy Horse Paris is closing down.
This is disappointing for me. This is one of Karen and I's favorite topless shows in all of Vegas. I think it's the best, but Las Vegas Sun is reporting that after 11 years at MGM, the topless show Crazy Horse Paris will be closing October 1st. Now, MGM is looking to expand the space and turn it into a nightclub. Plans were in the works for the South American Pink Elephant nightclub to move in, but those plans have fallen through. Crazy Horse Paris executives said there are definite plans for a new joint adventure on the strip for the show and even a U.S. tour. They also made it a point to say that they had no hard feelings and MGM has been great to them over their 11-year run, but both parties agree it's time to move on. It was also revealed that Crazy Horse Paris was exclusive to MGM and they had to turn down opportunities in New York and Miami because of it. This will give them not only the freedom to expand, but to revamp the Vegas show, adding some elements to it that have proven to be very popular in their new Paris, France show. Now, if you haven't seen the show, I highly recommend it. It's like a live performance of the title sequence in a Bond film. It's beautiful women doing dancing numbers with various things projected on their bodies, and it's fucking awesome. It's hands down my favorite topless show in the city.
It sounds like this is a good decision all around. I mean, if both parties are kind of mutually accepting it and agree that it's time to move on. I mean, from what we've seen in the story here from the Las Vegas Sun, it looks like there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of things that they could definitely move on to, bigger and better things.
We've made the comment last week that with Hakkasan and the idea of building a strip day club, that that's really needed in South Strip. And I'm really starting to get the impression that what MGM is doing is they're looking at what Encore has done, they're looking at what Cosmopolitan has done, and they're attempting to create the exact same experience, South Strip. And I think this is another example of it.
I would agree with you. That's actually a great thought that you had, and I didn't even think about it that way, but now that you say it, it makes perfect sense.
Yep, more.
And why wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, more top quality nightclub experience. It's geographically, it's absolutely brilliant. Who else is in a better position to set this up?
Nope, nobody better than MGM.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Moving on, new building wrap regulations are in discussion.
The Review Journal did a story about a lobbyist who is attempting to change the regulations on building wraps in Vegas. Now, I didn't actually know this. Currently, all building wraps are approved on a temporary basis. According to the lobbyist, the reason wraps are very common on the Strip and not on Fremont Street is they're too costly to invest in if they can only be displayed for a limited time. That actually sounds like bullshit to me, because think about how long the quote-unquote temporary signs are up at these strip properies.
Oh, for months and months, right?
Yeah. So the new regulation is aimed at allowing building wraps on a permanent basis, provided they are well-maintained. Now, the major concern is that wraps will be used for off-premises advertising. You know, something like The D, brought to you by Massengill. Right. Now, talks are to restrict wraps to on-premises advertising and also only on tall buildings in the downtown area only. I see where they're coming from on this, but I honestly have always thought the reason there weren't a lot of ramps down there is because who's going to see them? You have the Fremont Street Experience buried over it. The idea is you're on the strip, you're walking from, you know, South Strip. You can see what's going on Center Strip because they got these massive ramps on the buildings.
Mm-hmm, right. I don't really have too much of an opinion on this. Mm-hmm. I've seen some ramps that I think are okay. I've seen some ones that I don't really like. Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately, I think that the regulations that they've got going along with this, if they're maintained well, it's fine.
Yeah.
I agree with you as far as, you know, how they would be downtown. There's not really much to see with the Fremont Experience covering, you know, the top, and a lot of the top of the buildings are cut off. But for the ones that are moderately to tall, you know.
Yeah, ultimately, I just don't give a shit. They can do whatever they want with these.
Yep, yep. Moving on. New nightclub is coming to Palazzo.
Vegas Eater shared the details. Simon Hammerstein, the people behind the Box nightclub in New York and London, plan to open a 15,000-square-foot nightclub on the third floor of the shops at Palazzo above the waterfall.
I feel like I've heard this information from somewhere else, but I can't be sure where or when it was.
It's so funny that you said that, because as I read this story, all the details seem new to me, but at the same time, I'm like, well, I swear I've heard this before.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be named The Act. It will be a vaudevillian burlesque performance-based nightclub. It will offer two stages, 40 tables, four bars, and interactive theater in a space nearly 2.5 times their New York location. The club will take up multiple levels and will use multiple themes to punctuate those levels. Aesthetic elements will range from Italian Opera House, European cathedrals, New York's Grand Central Station, and turn-of-the-century speakeasy. That's almost quoting the press release, but I really couldn't figure out a way to articulate that anymore.
Yeah, there's no other way to put that, right? Yeah.
Lastly, the club will offer a VIP experience that will allow guests to mingle with performers backstage. The club has plans to open in October. Hours of operation are expected to be Wednesday through Saturday, 10:30 to 4 a.m.
You know, if they can nail the theming on the different, you know, aesthetics that they've got projected to go into this club,
yeah,
I think it could be really successful.
What do you think about a vaudevillian burlesque performance thing? Because vaudevillian, to me, I always think of how movies represent vaudeville, which is very dark and freakish.
Not necessarily. I mean, you can see with the theming that they've got planned, the Italian Opera House, the cathedrals. Mm-hmm. I really like the idea of the turn-of-the-century speakeasy.
Mm-hmm.
The heavy theming can really play a big role. As far as I'm not too familiar with vaudeville,
right?
To be honest with you, so I can't speak intelligently about that. But the sound of this, it sounds great.
I mean, it definitely has my interest piqued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't speak too intelligently regarding the vaudeville, but I don't think it's going to be to the same extent that I think that you're thinking about.
Right, right.
I think that there's just going to kind of have that touch to it, but ultimately I think the theming is going to dominate the feel of the club.
Well, and I'm sure I'm recalling vaudeville in every horror aspect. You know,
every negative vaudeville experience
right,
that comes to
right,
memory.
And somehow projecting it on this project.
Right, right. No, it sounds great. I think I can speak for both of us when I say that we're excited to see how this takes shape.
Agreed.
Yep. On to our next story. TLC in production for new Vegas reality show.
Yeah, it's a docu-reality show currently called Vegas High Rollers. It's going to be centered around five successful females in the city. Now, the headline barely held my interest, and only one of the women had any connection to a casino resort, and it was her architect husband. I don't know if this is a ripoff of the Housewives of some random city or whatever, but watching rich whores, you know, invent situations to be dramatic about in between spending their spouse's money
isn't
appealing to me in the slightest, so... For those of you who are interested, we do have more information on it if you want to check out a link on the blog, but that's all I have.
There's a new Vegas show coming up. It's totally fictional, but I don't know if you've seen any commercials for it. I think it's going to be on NBC or something like that, but I think it's got like Dennis Quaid in it. And
No. That's not completely fictional, Brian. We've reported about it on the show. That's based on reality. That's the Ralph Lamb, I believe is who it is. He used to be a sheriff in Vegas.
Well, what I meant to say is exaggerated for TV.
Oh yes, you're absolutely correct there. Yeah. I mean, the based on reality is that Ralph Lamb kind of came in reluctantly to be the sheriff of Vegas and dealt with organized crime, and there's your your truth. The rest is, of course, all fabricated.
You know a lot more about it than I do, but I thought the show looked pretty cool.
It does. It does look interesting. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, cool. Maybe we can link that into a future Vintage Vegas.
Ooh, I like it.
Hint, hint. Moving on to our next story. Vegas Eater reported that for a limited time only, Legacy Stadium at Palazzo is offering a chance to try Samuel Adams' new limited edition beer, Norse Legend.
This is a really, really cool offering. The keg was tapped this week at Legacy, and they have two of the six kegs available in the entire United States. You can sample Samuel Adams' Norse Legend for $6 a glass.
I want to sample it.
Just because it's that... that limited, well, yeah, I agree with you.
I'm a big Sam Adams fan. So
see, I have yet to find Sam Adams that I enjoy. And maybe
Oktoberfest is coming up. Oh man,
yeah,
that's a big time of the year for a lot of people.
Well, see, and I still haven't found. I don't enjoy Oktoberfest at all, and I think it's just got more to do with the fact that my palate hasn't become refined enough. So every single year they usually have a beer tasting. Mm-hmm. Down at the Benny's from the street from me, and I always end up going because I'm like, you got to keep trying this stuff. Eventually, your palate's going to become advanced enough where you're like, oh, I get what everybody's enjoying.
Yeah, there's something really hearty about that beer, and I don't know. I look forward to it every year. And I saw you. I noticed you. You were doing two things that I didn't really care for the other night. It might have been last night, but you were drinking Shock Top Pumpkin Wheat.
Yes.
Yuck. And you were watching The Rum Diary, which I will also take a huge pass on. So. I hope you enjoyed your night, sir, but that sounds like a torture for me.
You know what's funny? I love this Shock Top Pumpkin. I it's the only pumpkin beer that I've had that I've actually enjoyed, and I would have to agree with you. I hated the Rum Diaries, or the Rum Diary, so...
So it's not like this isn't one of those things where you're like you know how some ladies, they're like, oh, I just want to curl up with a good book. You're like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to fucking hang out with a pumpkin Shock Top in the Rum Diaries.
No, not at all. Not at all. Rum Diary was, I don't get it. I didn't enjoy it. I don't really get Hunter S. Thompson. I'm sure people are going to freak the fuck out that I'm saying that. I just don't get it. But I gave it a shot. It's got Johnny Depp in it, who traditionally makes great fucking films. But I just didn't get it.
They're not all gems.
No.
Some people are probably really big fans of this. It's just not us.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Hunter S. Thompson isn't phenomenal or that movie isn't great. I just didn't get it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's fair. You still drank the shitty beer, though, which...
How dare you? Have you tried it? Have you even tried it?
I don't like it.
Oh, all right. Well, then
I don't like wheat beers in general either.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, just difference in taste.
Yeah.
Moving on to Vegas-related shit. Another Pawn Stars expert is opening up shop at Neonopolis.
Yes, the Ultimate Sports Cards and Memorabilia will open up a location next to the new Denny's at Neonopolis later this year. The name is pretty self-explanatory, so you can imagine what they're going to be selling there. Expectations are high for it, considering the Toy Shack, whose owner also gained fame from the Pawn Stars show, opened up shop at Neonopolis earlier this year, or last year, I don't remember exactly. And it pulls in 600 to 1,000 people per day, despite not having a high-traffic storefront, which Ultimate Sports Cards is going to be fucking right up front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, I seriously want to go see the Toy Shack. This doesn't particularly capture my imagination, but between that and the Shoezeum, I honestly think we're gonna make our way down to Fremont.
Not promising anything, but...
Oh, of course not. Come on.
On to our next story. Central Container Park released renderings of the project's plans.
More interesting things going on down on Fremont Street. Indeed. This will be located on Fremont and 7th Street, just past El Cortez if you're heading east. Now, Vegas Shadow reports that it will be an outdoor park / shopping center that uses repurposed shipping containers, some as high as 3 stories, to create 11,000 square feet of retail space and 3,200 square feet of restaurants, bars, office space, playground, performance space, and public art. Plans are to open in the spring of 2013, and at least from the renderings, this looks really cool and really unique.
Yeah, this is definitely unique. It's different. The concept is like nothing else I've ever seen firsthand myself. It looks like they've got some pictures of it, under construction on the site, but Right. It could be cool.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously everything in a rendering is idealized, so we got to see what the real product ends up being. But I think it's exciting. I like the idea of having something of an outdoor park slash retail, I don't know, business environment. I just think it's clever.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's a nice way to repurpose the shipping containers.
Got lots and lots of exciting shit going on down at Fremont Street. This could really kind of turn the corner for them. They've kind of been playing second fiddle to the Strip for a long, long time, and
I think they always will.
Oh, I agree. But can you not see it becoming, well, to make an analogy, a downtown Disney of sorts?
Yeah, they'll hopefully they'll find some traction and pull a little bit more business and become a little bit more lively and draw a bigger crowd. But yeah, I mean, this is certainly one way to do it.
Right.
And in our final story for this week, Little Buddha is closing at the Palms.
The Las Vegas Sun reported that staff were notified this week that in 2 months, Little Buddha will close after 11 years at Palms to be replaced by Zishi. Now, Zishi is, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, but Zishi is the name of one of four legendary women from ancient China. She is specifically known as the most beautiful of the four of them. They don't plan to be out of commission very long because the reopen date is expected to be in December, so they're only going to be out of commission for about a month. Plans are also for two dining experiences, formal and casual, offering traditional and contemporary Asian cuisine. This is the second project the One Group, owners of STK, are working on at the Palms. If you recall, we reported a few weeks ago that they'll be taking over Garduno's and turning it into a sports bar named Herrera.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
It's close to that. Something.
The One Group, man, they open up shop at STK, and now they are just spreading like a fucking awesome disease on the Strip.
Yeah.
Well, all over the fucking place.
Like many other diseases found.
Right. Many things passed around on Vegas.
Yes. And the One Group was one of those things.
There you go.
That's going to conclude our news segment. We do have prop bets for you for this week, first of which being the Las Vegas monorail continues to struggle, reporting a 19% decline in riders. Analysts continue to blame the closure of Sahara as one major contributing factor, which I think we tend to generally agree with.
I agree, but one of the things, and I just wanted to throw this out to you to see what you thought about it, I wonder if traffic wouldn't be improved if, say, at MGM, the station was closer or maybe even more visible on the Strip, like maybe just past the Tropicana Avenue entrance. And the same thing goes for Sahara. Like, if you could see this as a reminder, you know, because you see buses and cabs all over the fucking place. I wonder if you couldn't see the monorail station, you know, in more of a high traffic area, if it wouldn't encourage more riders.
Well, I think that's definitely the biggest problem. Exposure is the thing that they need the most to generate some more business and more traffic.
It's like it's hidden.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I think that exposure would be the number one way to turn this around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact that they're so in the hole doesn't... I think they'll continue
to ignore the obvious, though.
Yeah, none of these things are going to happen.
No. The answer is right in front of you, but...
Right. The Las Vegas Advisor shared Nevada Senator Harry Reid's reasons behind supporting a McCarran Airport name change. He said, Pat McCarran was one of the most anti-Semitic, anti-black, prejudiced people to ever serve in the Senate. I don't think his name should be on anything. And I think after hearing that information, which I had no idea that Pat McCarran was a piece of shit, that I could fully support them now changing McCarran Airport to anything other than McCarran Airport.
Yeah, I don't know a fucking thing about Pat McCarran, but if that's true, I would absolutely stand behind the name
right,
change.
I agree. I mean, for all we know, you know, Harry Reid is a fucking lying piece of shit, but, you know.
Yeah, he might be the anti-Semitic, anti-black prejudice piece of shit, but who knows.
But if Harry is, you know, accurate, then yes, we agree.
Well, what do they have in mind for the name change? If it's not going to be McCarran Airport anymore, like what would they go to?
Do you have any idea? Vegas International Airport. It won't be anything pretty.
Oh, so something just generalized.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm fine with that, too.
Yeah.
I usually just say Vegas Airport.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, so our next prop bet. The Las Vegas Advisor also reports that Bagatelle at Tropicana has been delayed again. due to some difficulty getting building permits for the restaurant. Mid-October is the new moving target.
Yeah, that'll do it. Vegas Chatter also reported that Hakkasan has pushed back their opening date from New Year's until early 2013. I don't understand, Brian, why they don't just say coming soon and leave it at that, because they keep giving these specific dates, and then it makes the project look like it's a failure before it ever even opens.
I agree. It's not a good way to start. And you and I we've poked fun at that concept before. But yeah, just say a season. Just say spring of 2013 or winter of 2012. Just something like that. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't.
You can't really argue with that.
Yeah, I mean, it takes time. Shit happens.
Yeah, you're going to run into all kinds of unexpected things. But yeah, I don't know why they bother putting, like, it's funny. They're like, oh yeah, we're going to be opening on December 2nd.
Right.
At noon. Be there.
Right.
No, you're not. We know you're not.
Next up, Eli Roth's Goratorium is hiring not only actors, but, in their words, quote, freaks, sociopaths, amputees, burn victims, and anyone who causes children to cry and hide at the sight of you.
Oh, my God.
What isn't clear is if they're actually serious, because Eli Roth is pretty extreme, and it wouldn't be shocking if he isn't specifically looking to hire actual amputees and burn victims, et cetera, et cetera.
Jeez.
I know. This was literally in a press release. This is, wow.
Do you make people cry when they see you? No, we want to hire you.
Right.
Great. For those of you looking for a recap of all the development going on down at Fremont Street, some of which we talked about on the news segment on this week's show, Biggest Eater did an article about all the projects that are currently underway, 17 in total, restaurants, bars, and lounges. You can check that out.
That's awesome. So happy for that area. Oh, you know what would be awesome? I wish they would use more neon down there. I mean, I know they won't, but it would be really cool if a lot of these new projects went old school with their signage.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's what Vegas was built on.
There you go. Swiss watchmaker, I'm never going to be able to pronounce this.
Vacheron Constantine.
What is it? Vacheron Constantine?
Vacheron.
You're fancy.
Fancy, yes. I have a fancy tongue.
There you go. Well,
I got a prettier tongue than a $20 whore. That's a Blazing Saddles reference.
It's brilliant. You were the king of movie references that make me laugh.
I didn't have a lot of friends when I was a kid.
I don't believe that at all.
TV was always there. It's like a friend who always wants to play.
Well, anyway, this Swiss watchmaker, they've opened their second retail location in North America at Palazzo. They are one of the oldest watchmakers in the world, opening in 1755. Jesus Christ, how many businesses can actually say that they've been in business that fucking long?
Quite a few, but I don't know any of offhand.
Mark, this isn't impressive at all.
Actually, Mark, this is very commonplace.
Brian, clearly I wasn't much of a student as a child, nor paid attention in pretty much any academic sense.
Mark, I hate to break this news to you, but if you want to talk about institutions that have been doing business longer than this, the Catholic Church has been ripping people off way longer than this.
I love you so much for that statement.
I welcome your emails.
Yeah.
But send them to Mark, not me.
Well, of course. I'll forward them on. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, cool. I don't care what religion you are. That's fine. I'm just joking. I get flamed for that.
Right.
Price is Right Live at Bally's has closed without notice indefinitely. there are no details about it at this time.
That's a little concerning.
Yeah, they're done.
Right.
Sorry, Joey Fatone.
Right. I know.
He's out of a job. He's at home. He's like, oh, man.
I know. Shit.
Damn it.
Dancing with the Stars? Do you guys need anybody again? Like, no, Joey, we're fine. Stop calling. The Venetian Poker Room is currently under renovation. Plans are to reopen September 1st.
And finally, for prop bets, the new gastropub at Hard Rock Culinary Dropout opened this week.
Yeah.
We don't know anything else about it, though.
Well, we've reported on it before. I just didn't feel like recapping any of them.
Yeah, but
it's a gastropub. It's the same.
We don't have any reviews or anything on it.
Oh, yet. Right. That's fair, yeah.
So that is going to conclude news and prop bets. Let's move on to Playing Vegas. Playing Vegas is a segment of our show where we discuss up-and-coming performances and entertainment options occurring within the next week of time. And starting off the list for this week, 16 Candles is this week's dive-in movie at the Boulevard Pool at Cosmopolitan. Doors for that open at 7 p.m. Show starts at 8 p.m. Admission is free as always, and snacks and drinks will be available to purchase.
Wednesday, Static X is performing at Vinyl at Hard Rock. Show starts at 7:30. Tickets are $27.
On Thursday, Bonfire, the AC/DC tribute band, is performing at House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. That show starts at 7:30. Tickets will be $13.
Friday, Whoopi Goldberg is performing at the Mystere Theater at Treasure Island. Show starts at 9 p.m. Tickets run $65 to $109. Ziggy Marley is performing at Mandalay Beach. Show starts at 9 p.m. Tickets are $46. Joe Rogan canceled his performance at Mandalay Bay, so get your money back. And Jay Leno is at the Mirage. Show starts at 10 p.m. Tickets are $83 to $106.
For Friday and Sunday, Air Supply is at the Orleans. That show is going to start at 8 p.m. Tickets will range from $44 to $72. And Mythbusters, Behind the Myths, is at Palazzo. That show will start at 7 p.m. Tickets will range from $73 to $235.
Saturday, Tony Bennett is performing at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace. Show starts at 7:30. Tickets are $60 to $200. Neil Diamond is at the MGM Grand. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets are $50 to $150. 311 and Slightly Stupid are at Mandalay Beach. Show starts at 9 p.m. Tickets are $57. And lastly, Dee Snider of Twisted Sister is performing at the Fremont Street Experience 3rd Street Stage. Show starts at 9 p.m. Admission is free.
Saturday and Sunday, Extreme Midget Wrestling Federation is at Riviera. how fitting. That show's going to start at 8 p.m. Tickets will range from $31 to $65.
That's how you draw people to your property, Brian.
Oh, I know.
And lastly, Sunday, I'll be in Vegas. And Sugarland will be performing at Mandalay Beach.
No shit. Is that this coming Sunday?
Isn't that fucking crazy?
Oh, my God. You were just there.
I know. Time fucking flies. It's going to be awesome.
You were just there.
Yeah. Sugarland, also on Sunday, not nearly as exciting or interesting as me being there, but Sugarland will be performing at Mandalay Beach. Show starts at 9 p.m. Tickets are $85.
That's going to wrap up Playing Vegas. Let's move on to slots. In our slot segment, we like to review a new game every week, and for this week, thanks to WMS Gaming, we have another exclusive in-depth review of one of their new slots. This week, we're going to review Baron Von Bacon's Million Credit Bonus. This game is a 5-reel, 25-line video slot with a 40-credit minimum and 200 to 400 max bet. It's available in 1, 2, 5, and 25-cent denominations, offering a top award of 1 million credits. During the base game, you can collect gems. Gems award players a spin on the wheel for credits, free spins, or a million credit prize. Three gem symbols scattered on reels 1, 3, and 5 awards the gem bonus. Here you select from one of the three gems on the screen to reveal a prize of up to 25 times your bet or a spin on the Baron's wheel.
Baron's free spin bonus can be awarded by Baron's wheel or Baron's million credit wheel bonuses. A cat, rabbit, or Baron characters appear on bonus reels that award up to 15 free spins, 10 times multiplier, or 7 additional wilds. If you get a gem in reels 1, 3, or 5, it will trigger the character to spin their wheel to determine your award.
The game is available in two themes, Unicornucopia and Pirate Swine. Pirate Swine offers the pirate flag feature, which is triggered by a pirate symbol on reel 3 and turns all matching pirate symbols wild.
Unicornucopia offers the unicorn feature, which is triggered by the unicorn symbol on reel 1, 5, or both, and awards credit multipliers of 2 times, 3, 5, or 10 times.
Well, we'll get into the bonus rounds. At any time, one of the 11 random mystery bonuses can be triggered. Each bonus starts with a pig pulling a 70s-type game board across the screen with a random generator that will determine the game you will be playing. The higher you bet, the better chance of winning the million credit prize. The game was designed for the player seeking frequent and multiple bonus rounds.
First one we're going to talk about is Hangman. Try to find the gem before the man is drawn. Three credit selections and the game. Prizes include 15, 25, 45, and 1,000 credits times the bet multiplier.
The next one is Tiger Glasses. Try to find the gem by selecting a pair of glasses. Credit prizes include 40, 80, 120, 360, 500 credits times your bet multiplier.
The next bonus game is Piggy Banking. Find the gem by picking a piggy bank. Credit prizes include 40, 80, 120, 360, or 500 credits times the bet multiplier.
And I do believe it's Piggy Banking.
Oh, whatever.
It's not Piggy Banking. It's Piggy Banking. It's the N apostrophe.
I apologize.
It's fine.
This is why we're a team.
Yes. The next one is pin, yada, yada, yada. Pick a pinata or swipe them all, awarding 2 to 8 credit prizes. Receive a gem if it appears.
Next is the trick shooter. Here a bunny jumps out of a plane, and you select the trick he will do while falling. Find the gem by selecting the right trick. Credit prizes include 40, 80, 120, 360, or 500 credits times the bet multiplier.
Next one is Flick. Here you spin the wheel and try and land on the gem. Credit prizes for this include 20, 40, 50, 60, 75, 100, 250, 500, 1,000, 1,200, and 2,000 credits times the bet multiplier.
Next is the treasure chest. Choose from a collection of chests for a credit prize until the gem is found. Prizes include 20, 40, 80, 150, or 1,000 credits times the bet multiplier.
Next one is the three-wheeler. Touch the screen to stop the three wheels spinning. When they stop, you win the credit prize pointed to. If the colors behind the prizes are the same or all different, you win a gem. Credit prizes include 15, 20, 30, 40, 60, 200, 250, or 500 credits times the bet multiplier.
Next game is Wild 8 Ways. It awards 3 free spins on the 8-way wheel. Matching symbols up and down, across, and diagonal award credits. Think tic-tac-toe. Any pay awards a gem.
Next one is Gems for Bacon. This awards 3 free spins on the 8-way wheel. Matching symbols up and down, across, and diagonal award credits. The Baron Von Bacon symbol awards a gem.
Next is the Real Food. It awards 3 free spins on the 8-way wheel. Matching symbols up and down, across, diagonal, award credits. 3 bananas or eggplants on a line awards a gem.
And finally is the Baron's Wheel. Finding a gem in any of the mystery bonuses of picking Baron's Wheel during the gem bonus awards a spin on the Baron's Wheel, awarding 1 of 3 prizes. Those prizes include a credit prize of up to 1 million credits, plus 1,000 times your bet multiplier, up to 15 free spins, or a spin on the million credit wheel.
And the big game, Baron's Million Credit Wheel awards 7 free spins or 1 million credits. If you are betting max bet and win a spin on Baron's Million Credit Wheel, you are guaranteed to win 1 million credits.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I got to say, I'm really interested in trying this out if it's available in Vegas when we go next week, just because it really, from everything that I saw when we were doing this review, it seems like you're hitting a bonus every, you know, couple minutes, you know, just so it's a lot more interactive, a lot more, you know, I really hope that it translates to that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It does sound good. There's a lot of bonus options. There's a lot of things going on with the game. And I think the more features they can throw at you, the more interesting your experience is.
Yeah, but we also thought that with Clue, so.
Yeah, well, win some, you lose some.
Right.
Special thanks to WMS Gaming for giving us some another inside access and helping us to provide this review to you guys.
Yep.
So that was the Baron Von Bacon's Million Credit Bonus. Check out 360VegasSlots.com for these details, as well as a video of the game in action. That's going to do it for our slot review. Let's move on to Vegas Deals. In our Vegas Deals segment, we discuss ways you can save money on certain opportunities in planning or while you're in Vegas. And for the first one for this week is a little information regarding Restaurant Week in Vegas. Every year, Vegas restaurants team up with the nonprofit organization 3Square to raise money to feed those in need. If you recall from some of you who've been listening to the show early on, we did a little review on this last year. But yep. The restaurants create special menus for the occasion and donate a portion of each purchase to charity. There are way too many restaurants participating to name them, but you can go to their website, www.helpoutdineoutlv.org, to get the full list as well as the specialty menu prices and times. We will provide a link to that if you'd like to check that out.
Caesars Entertainment now has Foursquare badges. All of their active properties now have their... Really, Loke? Really?
What is that?
It's him and his toy.
Oh, I was going to say, it sounds like a duck dying in your house.
Well, you know how they make those toys.
Yeah.
Loke, hey, we are recording, young man. We are recording a show. None of that. Oh, Jesus Christ. I just encouraged him. Loke, stop it. Seriously. He's looking at me like, it sounds to me like you want to play, is what he's telling me.
What's that, Mark? Go on. Okay.
God damn this dog. All right, we're going to trudge through. Tim and Michelle do it every week. We're going to trudge through. All of Caesars Entertainment's active properties now have their own badges. And once again, I know what I'll be doing this up and coming trip. Now, just like other partner badges, acquiring it will not only give you a unique badge, but it will also give you a discount. You just need to like the property on Foursquare and check into three different venues at the property in a 48-hour time period. For clues on specifically which venue check-ins will help you to acquire the property's badge, you can go to the property's page on Foursquare. It will give you a list. Deals affiliated with each property badge are as follows. Bally's, you get 50% off of tickets to Jubilee. Caesars, you get front-of-the-line access to the Pure Nightclub. Flamingo offers front-of-the-line access to the Go Pool. Harrah's offers front-of-the-line access to the party at Carnival Court.
The rest of these are actually front-of-the-line access.
Yeah, they're all there, yeah. So Paris gives you Chateau Nightclub. Paris, or Planet Hollywood gives you Gallery Nightclub. And Rio gives you the Topless Pool. So if you're really looking for great deals, this is not the route you want to go. But that's never the reason why I'm attempting to get these badges.
If you're interested in front of the line access to something, then it might be for you.
There you go. The only one I thought was even interesting was the Pure Nightclub and I guess any of the nightclubs. It's mildly interesting. Yeah. But the Go Pool and Carnival Court, I thought Carnival Court was free anyway.
Yeah, pretty sure it is.
Right. Now, these deals are good for 1 year after you are awarded the badge. So you get front-of-the-line access to the free place for an entire year. After that, you just...
So that's generous.
Right. You get, after that, you get in like everyone else, Brian. Free.
Yeah,
like,
what do you expect? You get something for free for free. I mean...
There is no badge for Imperial Palace at this time, probably because it will not be named Imperial Palace in a year.
Nope. Nope, not at all.
No. Factual statements.
Yes, that's all real. It's going to be happening. Cabo Wabo offers deals on Taco Tuesdays. $2 chicken and steak tacos and 2-for-1 margaritas that taste like shit from 10 p.m. to midnight.
I was going to say, I wonder if they also have shitty margarita Mondays. Or... And lastly, Siegfried and Roy's Secret Garden and Dolphin Habitat is now offering season passes for those of you who cannot get enough of one of the two.
or both. Anybody can get enough.
Right.
Of Siegfried and Roy's Secret Garden and right. Dolphin Habitat.
The passes run $50 for adults, $38 for children, 4 to 12. You get unlimited access for one calendar year as well as 10% off of the Dolphin Shop.
Why do they call it a season pass if it's really an annual pass?
Oh, fair enough, Brian.
I'm like, what season isn't it good for?
Well, there you go. I don't think any of us can argue with that kind of
No,
logic.
It's okay. I apologize. Go on.
Well, you get unlimited access as well as 10% off of the Dolphin Shop, Secret Garden Shop, and Dolphin Bar, except for Cashman Photos and Letter Art. I don't know what the fuck the rest of that means. Regular admission to the attraction runs $20 for adults, $15 for children, 4 to 12.
Some people just go fucking batty over dolphin-related shit.
Including Mr. Steve Wynn himself, which is why this attraction is available at the Mirage.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, dolphin stuff. I mean, how much do you really need?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, when is enough enough?
I agree with you. I mean, I used to... I grew up in Ohio, and we had a SeaWorld not very far from us for quite a while. And I would go to SeaWorld, and, you know, once I was there for the day, I was like, well, I don't need to do this again for another year.
Yeah, that's an interesting story.
Fuck you.
You can check out these and all the deals we report on the show at 360VegasDeals.com.
Yeah.
We also want to remind you that we have affiliate deals with Caesar Entertainment Properties, as well as Venetian, Palazzo, and Tropicana. So if you're looking to book a stay with any of these properties, just go to our blog, click on that company's banner, and you'll not only get various affiliate exclusive deals, which save you money, but you'll also be supporting the show because we do get a little bit of a kickback.
Yeah, hook us up.
Yeah, why not? It's good for all of us. It's a mutually beneficial thing we got going on.
Everyone's happy.
Yes. That's going to wrap up Vegas Deals. Let's move on to coming attractions. In coming attractions, we share with you upcoming performances and acts outside of the normal residencies in Vegas that will be occurring later on in the future. Starting off the list for this week, Yellow Card will be performing at Vinyl at Hard Rock on Friday, November 2nd. That show starts at 8:30. Tickets will be $30.
Rodney Atkins is performing a free show at Gillies at Treasure Island on Labor Day, Monday, September 3rd. Show's going to start at 9 p.m. Nevada locals receive drink specials, and they are available all night.
Are you going to go see Rodney Atkins for free at Gillies?
I am not going to go see Rodney Atkins. That I will promise.
Okay. The Empire Comedy Club at Paris will not be renewing its contract with Caesars Entertainment. Big surprise there. The promoter of the show has stated that the decision was mutual and has already worked with Caesars on some one-off shows.
Right. NASCAR's After the Lap will be taking place this year at Planet Hollywood's November 29th at 8 p.m. It will offer the opportunity to interact with 12 NASCAR drivers as well as other activities. Tickets are on sale now for $20, with proceeds benefiting the NASCAR Foundation. Wait, what the hell's the NASCAR Foundation?
It's for needy cars, Mark.
Right. It's like, proceeds will go to our pockets. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't hey, what the fuck is your issue, boy?
Yeah, you tell him.
I gotta interrupt the show. This is twice. How dare you?
One more and he's out.
Well, that's usually what it boils down to when he starts. Hey. This is Loke's show. He's hijacking this fucking show.
It's Loki's show. That's the title of this episode.
There you go.
Next on our list is Festibrawl at South Point, Sunday, September 2nd. This is an MMA amateur fighting event complete with live music by cover band The Garage Boys, Vegas food trucks, and free beer tasting. Tickets to the event are $25 for general admission, $960 for VIP admission.
Those are for the super fans.
Yes, that VIP admission includes floor seats for 8 people, a night in a suite at South Point, which is spectacular in itself, 2 bottles of Spice Box whiskey with mixers, unlimited cocktail service, and apparel from the Tough and Uff League.
I knew you were going to do that. Although, ultimately, when you think about that, that's not bad. I mean, if you're really into this stuff, that, you know, 8 fucking people.
Yeah, it's just a little over $120 or so each, but...
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. It's not our thing.
Yeah. The event is from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Fights start at 7:30.
Yeah. Vegas Shatter informed us that Jersey Boys tickets at Paris will undergo a large price decrease starting September 1st. Tickets currently run $100 to $227, and they will drop drastically to $48 to $160. There's no word on exactly why. Could be seasonal, could be shitty ticket sales. Yep.
Journey with Pat Benatar and Loverboy will be performing at Planet Hollywood on Friday, December 7th. That show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets will be ranging from $70 to $166. And then there's some VIP packages that are also available for $225 to $350 with perks like backstage tour and photo opportunities with the band.
Yeah. And then lastly, Less Than Jake is performing at the Hard Rock Cafe on the Strip Monday, October 8th. Show starts at 5 p.m. Tickets are $20.
Well, it's not more than Jake, I can tell you that. Don't forget you can find links to purchase tickets to these and all the artists we report on our Coming Attractions calendar on the blog. That's going to do it for Coming Attractions. Let's move on to Annie Up.
Welcome back to another segment of Annie Up. I'm Matt, and with me today is Stephen Hawkins.
Welcome, Earthlings.
If you can hear why, Darren's voice is way more fucked than usual. He has got a mega head cold, and
it's only my voice. Everything else is fine, just my voice.
Can you hear it? I don't know if you can hear it.
I don't know. It sounds weird anyway, but now it sounds even more robotic.
You sound a cross between Stephen Hawkins and the movie previews guy.
What's the movie preview guy?
That inner world. That dude. You sound like him.
It's so, yeah, I don't know. We'll try recording. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. No one understands me anyway.
No, it's probably not, it wasn't a missy of it anyway. One man with a shitty voice. It's so fucked. But yeah, you look a million bucks, but you just sound like...
Yeah, nah, I don't know what it is. Like, I feel fine, just my throat's weird. It's not even sore, it's just weird. I know what you're going
to
say.
I've told you so many times to spit, not swallow, but you do what you got to do, doesn't you?
It is stuck in there. I wonder what breaks it up. Is there some sort of drink you can drink to break it up?
I don't think so. You can gargle. All right, let's move on. In today's piece, we want to discuss with you the different types of progressive slot machines that are out there. Now, there are three types. Well, there are three main types: standalone progressives, local area progressives, and wide area progressives.
I don't know if I was going to insert a mum joke there. I don't know when to do it. As the name suggests, the standalone progressive machines are not linked to any other slots. The machine takes a small percentage of every coin played and adds that to the winning jackpot.
Nicely read, Stephen.
I tried so hard to be like, yeah, woo, up and down.
Most of the time, the payback percentage is the same for all standalones, so it pays for you to find a machine with the highest jackpot amount, this way increasing your win if you do hit the jackpot.
Local area progressives are a group of machines that are linked together and are owned and operated by the casino. They can be found in a connected slot bank or linked over a group of casinos if they are owned by the same company. Well, that's good. Long sentences of work. It's one of those dudes that suffer from lung cancer.
You do sound like you've got a tracheotomy, whatever it's called.
Like on that don't smoke cigarette.
We just insulted anyone with cancer, but okay.
Is that wrong? That's probably
it's not tasteful, but it's not right.
Sorry. Because they have a smaller jackpot. No one knows what I'm saying now. Because they have a small jackpot pool than the wider area machines, they generally hit more often.
I just realised, you sound like a bullfrog, like a cartoon bullfrog, like, hello, like a really drunk Kermit. Hello, Miss Piggy.
That was high.
That was high, I know, you're more bassy today. Oh, fuck, wide area progressives are the machines with the huge life-changing jackpots, such as Megabucks or Quartermania. These are owned by an independent operator, and the casinos only share in the machine's takings. Wide areas are linked over several different properties, and because of this, the administration and logistical costs are quite high. So by that, it means you can have move down the script, Daz. My pointing means move down. By that, they can be owned over, like, you can have the same machine in an MGM property, in a Caesars property. They can actually be linked over all of the different companies.
Yeah, that's wicked. I didn't know.
That's why, like, Megabucks is so high, because it's over... I think they're state-based. I think they're over, like, one state, I believe. I'm not sure exactly how it works.
Oh, but they might...
I think it's a whole region. I know that.
So it could be linked to ones in the airport, and technically, even though there's probably...
Yeah, I think there's a Megabucks in McCarran, actually, yeah.
Yeah. For this reason, the payback percentage on these machines is quite low, and your chance of hitting the jackpot is tiny. As we have said before, it is a much better bet to play video poker than slots, but if you want a shot at the big win, don't invest too much of your bankroll.
Yeah, we've beaten this topic to death, just as Mark's beaten the I hate initials for names of casinos and hotels.
We should change our initials to, like, anti-up.
Anti-up. AU. Welcome to AU. Mark could fucking cut us in seconds. But, we have beaten it to death, but you should really play video poker over slot machines. Video slot machines, in all honesty, are a really bad bet. They're set, on average, it's like 85% return across Nevada, whereas video poker machines are anywhere as high as 97 up to 100% if you find the right machine. So you should really just stick to video poker. I forgot what I was going
to
say then.
Really stick to video poker.
If you wish to contact us with a gambling question, have a gaming story you wish to share, or have any feedback, you can find us on Twitter at 360AnnieUp, or drop us an email to 360AnnieUp@gmail.com.
Daz, what a fucking trooper.
Yeah, poor guy. Sounds fucking awful.
I actually thought he sounded incredibly attractive, but that's just my style.
Yeah, I feel like people that are all congested and stuff.
Phlegm attracts. I'm attracted to it, Brian. Yeah. Makes me hot.
You know, there's no arguing their points there. But still, you know, it's kind of fun to sit down with and getting free drink service and just playing some slot machines just for fun and don't have to think about it. It's just kind of mindless in here, even though you're kind of at the whim of the random number generators. You know, whim. I don't know. I think there's still something to be said for
you're at the slot machine of the experience. Random generators whim.
Yes. Yes.
You're at the redundancies whim.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And what's this about AU? You know, they shouldn't be worried about you cutting them up. It'll be me.
Oh, yeah. There's, yeah, I promise you, your segment will die if you dare to try. I won't even let you. I'll just cut it. I'll just take previous segments where you say Annie Up and just keep pasting it in there.
Or people will wonder why Annie Up isn't part of the show anymore.
Right. Exactly.
Whoops.
You could take that shit to Twitter and I don't give a fuck.
No one will ever listen to you guys.
Yeah. Suck it.
I'm just kidding. We love those guys. Matt and Dad is always putting out an awesome segment for the show, and we appreciate them every week.
Absolutely.
If you want to get a recap of this week's Annie Up, you can go, and we would encourage you to go to 360annieup.com and check that out.
Yeah, we paid for it.
And there's that. And there's good content, too.
Yes. Yeah. It goes without saying, Brian. I just thought I would make sure it was clear that I bought that name.
Yes, yes. Among many others.
That is accurate, yes. Yeah. Trying to build an empire here.
Yes. So that's episode 60 all done. We thank you guys for downloading and listening and supporting the show. We appreciate it every week. If you'd like to get any of the information that we referenced from this week's show, the different stories we referenced, you can go to our blog to get all that information at 360vegaspodcast.com. Again, if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. You can also go to the blog and find us, all of our links for our social media, Twitter, Google+, Facebook, all that other good stuff. So go check that out. That's it. I don't have anything else. What about you, sir? Anything?
Loke, do you have anything left that you want to share for the show?
Want to squeak your fucking toy some more?
Yeah, anything at all? No, he's not even looking at me. He's going free banana.
Yeah, sure. We're not trying to go through any of the segments. Say now.
Rude. Oh, dogs are just too adorable, though. That's my boy. And that's going to be it for this week.
Yeah, thanks for downloading, guys. We appreciate it.
Yep, see you next week.